Now remember too, this is God who inspired the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy, who is a young preacher and pastor. And he's giving him a lot of instruction about how he should be carrying out his task. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, flee from youthful lusts and pursue after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So a lot of wisdom in these pastoral letters to pastors, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, as well as other teachings and biblical principles and doctrines that apply to all of us as to how we are to conduct ourselves in the church of the living God and among his people. Now, there are also some pretty strong words in some of these books as well concerning people that don't do it right, people that don't believe right, people who don't teach it right, people who are wicked, people who teach false things. And we've heard a good bit already about being those of us who are preachers and pastors being committed to preaching and teaching sound doctrine rather than doctrine that is unsound. And I know and have experienced over my long years of ministry people who rebel at the word doctrine. They just don't like the word doctrine, and they say doctrine divides. And I say, if it's biblical doctrine, the only way that will divide is if you don't believe it, if you don't embrace it. And I've met those who fit into that category, who did not embrace it, did not believe it, rebelled against it, and went astray from it for a while. But then after a year or so, I've seen the Lord bring them back and acknowledge and confess, I had it wrong. The Bible is right. And my failure was that I didn't accept it for what God said. And I repent of that. And I'm back on track with him concerning biblical truth, biblical doctrine. And all that the Bible teaches is Bible doctrine in all 66 books. And so we should not be afraid of the word. The word literally means the teaching. That's what doctrine is, and it's either accurate or inaccurate. It's either true or it isn't. And so we need to be rooted and grounded in the Lord and his word so that we can discern what we are being taught and what we hear from the preacher and what we read in books, what we get on television or radio or anywhere else we get it from. We need to be able to discern, is this biblical truth or not? If it is, we ought to embrace it and give thanks for it. And if it isn't, we should turn it away and not embrace it. Well, this is the title of the sermon this morning, simply the right kind of workman. And I picked up on that word workman in verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And so this is one of the primary responsibilities that the Lord puts on us, us who he calls to be preachers and pastors, is to be diligent, to be workmen who handle accurately his word. God is very concerned about his word being taught and proclaimed accurately, truthfully, faithfully. And that's the way we grow by grace through faith in him. As we learn more of what he says and we embrace more and more of what he says and we seek to live out more and more of what he says, and that brings glory and honor to him. And so the kind of workman that you want and that I'm convinced every church should have is one who is a man of God according to the word of God. One who is committed to the word of God, one who is committed to studying his word and getting it right, applying it first to himself before he seeks to stand and preach it to others. And again, I would say to you and remind you, you only get about 30 minutes from me every week, and the Lord works on me 7 days a week to get me ready to give it to you for 30 minutes. And so if it kind of steps on your toes a bit, I don't apologize for that because it's worn my feet out all week. And that's just the way it works. And so the more we're in the word, the more it's going to convict and convince us of its truth and of our sinfulness and waywardness. And of what it is that God requires of us and what he wants us to believe and do as compared to not believing and doing it correctly. And so we'll get more into that, Lord willing, in a week or so when the word talks about all scripture being inspired of God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And so that's the effect the word of God has on us. We can learn from it. It teaches us. It also corrects us. It also reproofs or rebukes us, points out when we don't have it right. And it trains us in righteousness. And so that's the way it is. Well, some do work hard or study or be diligent to present themselves approved to God as workmen who do not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But sad to say, not all preachers and pastors do. And you may have experienced some of that in a variety of different places. I know I have. And it's a sad thing. Well, he goes on here to mention a couple who didn't get it right. And he doesn't hesitate to call them out and to call them by name and to identify them by name and to point out their false teaching. He first of all says in verse 13, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. And now he names them. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. He doesn't hesitate to call them by name and to point them out as those who are not workmen who are showing themselves approved, who are not handling accurately God's word, God's truth. And he goes on to explain that. 18 and following. Men also have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. And thus they upset the faith of some. Well, I mean, even way back in that day, you had men saying the resurrection's already taken place. Well, the apostle is reminding Timothy, we obviously know that's not true, because if it had taken place, we wouldn't be here. We would have been resurrected. All of God's people will be raised from the dead and souls and bodies reunited when the Lord comes again. And that's clearly taught in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 1 Thessalonians 4 and other places as well. And so the dead will be raised on that day when Christ comes again, and those things are made clear. Well, these people were teaching that the resurrection's already taken place. Now, how in the world could anyone who claims to be a believer still be on earth trying to persuade others that it's already taken place and without obviously admitting or having to admit, we missed it. We got passed over. Well, they weren't doing that. They didn't own up to their false teaching. They just were disturbing many and upsetting the faith of some by this false teaching. And so that's why false teaching is so dangerous. And that's why if we are not rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word, we too could be acceptable to false teachings. I can remember when I first learned this. And I was young in the faith, probably within my first or second year as a Christian. And I was coming home from work one night. I was listening to the radio and had tuned in to the channel where Bible teaching was going on. And this person was teaching falsely. I didn't know it was false at the time. It made sense to me. And he was talking about Christ's resurrection, and that it wasn't on Sunday. It had to be Monday, because it was, the Bible says it was on the third day, and he died on Friday. Well, Saturday would be day one, and Sunday day two, and Monday day three. And there were other things he was teaching falsely as well. And I didn't know enough about the word or the Jewish calendar or none of those things to be able to discern truth from error. So I went home and said something to Joyce about it, who was much more steeped in God's word at that time than I was. And she corrected me, or corrected that guy on the radio. And I was so thankful and glad to get that. Well, she may be equally steeped in the word as I am today. Or I don't know, maybe even a little more. We could let you examine us and find out for yourself. But I'm glad to say we're both people of the word, and we study the word diligently, and we enjoy being under the teaching of it and the preaching of it when it's taught and proclaimed accurately and correctly. And we all, as God's children, should be in that position. But the sad thing is, not all are. And there's a lot out there going around this day and time that are leading many astray. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to guard against buying in to those false teachings. He goes on to say in verse 19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now, this is another what I would call a biblical trait or characteristic of a workman who needs not be ashamed. He abstains from wickedness. And there's a lot of that out there in this world today. The devil and his children are running rampant with wickedness at every turn. And you can get doses of that on TV and radio and out in the public square or wherever you go. And it's even gotten to the point this day and time when we leave home, we don't know if we're going to get back safely or not, or if we're going to be shot at or shot and killed. We hear that happening all the time. And it's seems to be everywhere. I don't care what town you're in or what county you're in, big or small or indifferent. There are those out there who are wicked and evil people, and some of them would just as soon shoot you as look at you. And that's a sad thing. But that's the world in which we live. But we who name the name of the Lord are to abstain from wickedness. We are to be salt and light in this world. We are to let our light shine. We are ambassadors for Christ. He has entrusted to us the word and ministry of reconciliation, and we need to be about getting that to as many as we can while we can. And that will make a difference if the Lord blesses it to be fruitful in the lives of those who hear. Well, he goes on to say in verses 20 and 21, now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but there are also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And so it is, if we abstain from wickedness and we seek to grow by grace through faith in Christ in his word, then we will be vessels unto honor, and that will be pleasing to our God, and we will be prepared for every good work. Now, he reminds us in verse 22, and with Timothy being a young man, he says, now, flee from youthful lusts. Now, most of us in here, as I look around, most of us aren't young anymore. Are we? Again, reminding us, Joyce and I were in that conversation not long ago, and I said something about we're getting old, and she said, honey, we're not getting old, we're already there. And I must agree, we certainly are. But we, even as old as we are, I think can think back to those younger years when maybe we were engaged in youthful lusts before we came to know Christ, living like the world lives, living under peer pressure from our high school classmate, doing what others expected us to do rather than doing what God expected us to do. And at that time, many of us didn't even know what God expected of us, had very little sense of right and wrong. I know in my high school, many of us, our thinking was, we live in a free country. That means we can do anything we want to. And as long as we don't get caught. And that kind of philosophy of life, which was a terrible way to live. But nonetheless, he warns and says to Timothy, flee from youthful lusts. A lot of youth disobey parents. A lot of youth do not acknowledge the authority structure in the family or the church or the workplace or the school or anywhere, play place or anywhere else, and rebel against all authority. And to do that is to rebel against God himself, who has established it. And Romans chapter 13 makes that clear to us. But he goes on to tell young Timothy what to pursue after. And if a workman is going to be the right kind of workman, he must pursue these things. He must pursue after righteousness, which has to do with believing the right thing and doing the right thing, living the right way. He must pursue faith, trusting the Lord with, in, and for everything. He must pursue love, which is one of the big marks of the Christian. The Lord teaching us that we are to love each other just like he has loved us, and that is unconditionally, no strings attached. And so it is that we are to love others that same way. We are to pursue after peace. And again, there's a verse in Romans chapter 12 that tells us that we should, as far as it is within us, live at peace with all men, not just Christians, but with all people. And with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So we are to pursue after these things. Us workmen who are the right kind of workmen, who need not be ashamed, who are accountable to God. Did you pick up on that in verse 15? Let's go back to that for just a moment. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. He is the one that the right kind of workman desires to please first and foremost. Now, I must confess, if I can make the rest of you happy in doing that, hallelujah.
Hello.
Praise the Lord. But, and I've said this before here, and I've said it everywhere I've preached, if I have to choose between being approved by God or being approved by you and them not being the same thing, then I'm going to have to choose being approved by God, because I'm accountable to him. He has called me to be a workman, to be a preacher and a pastor, and he's going to hold me accountable for everything I say, everything I teach, the way I live, what I believe, how I behave, how I conduct myself in the church and outside the church, and I want to be pleasing unto him. And if the people of God are the kind of people of God that they should be, and I believe you are, that's going to set well with you too. That's the kind of workman you want and deserve to have. Well, he goes on here to tell us something about what we who are the kind of workmen we should be, what we must not be, or what we must not do. Verse 23. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Not up to us to speculate. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. No need to speculate about it. We just have to take it as it comes. We know God's in control. God is sovereign. He's bringing to pass his will in all things. Nothing can thwart his purposes. He even tells us that he's going to cause all things to work together for our good, to those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. Even if it's a hard thing, even if it's a difficult thing, even if it's a trial or a trouble or a tribulation. We don't need to speculate about the outcome. God already knows the outcome. He's in control of the outcome. It's up to us to trust him with what he wants to bring to pass and to learn the lessons that he wants us to learn in that process. But we're not to be engaged in ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Now, he goes on to tell us in verse 24, and the Lord's bondservant, and by the way, that's what we are. If we're preachers and pastors, we are bond servants of the living God. We are his servants, his blood-bought servants by the blood of Christ. He owns us. He has every right to tell us what to do, what not to do, How to live, how not to live, what to believe, how not to believe. All of these things. And we are to be totally, completely surrendered to him and his will in it all. And so we are his bond servant. That word servant can also, and sometimes, is translated slave. And the Apostle Paul uses that word and applies it to himself and says, I am a slave of Christ. I'm a bond servant of the living God. And it tells us that we must not be quarrelsome, that we are to be kind to all. We're to be able to teach. We're to be patient when wronged. That's been a hard lesson for me to learn. I think I've learned it at my age, but I can remember a time when I wasn't very patient at all, but really not patient when wrong. We have this in our sinful nature. We have this reaction to opposition that we want to defend ourselves. And defending ourselves is not wrong. But sometimes the way we might go about it may be wrong. And so we've got to be careful to follow these instructions as the workman, if we're going to be the right kind of workman. We must not be quarrelsome. We must be kind to all. We must be able to teach. We must be patient when wrong. And with gentleness, we seek to correct those who are in opposition. Doesn't do any good to yell and scream and holler at them. That just makes things worse. We need to be gentle. We need to be forbearing. Yes, we need to speak our truth. But we need to, as the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And we need to understand, even in the Church of the Living God, not all of its leaders get it right all the time. We need to understand that. But we should seek to relate to them in such a way with gentleness and speaking the truth in love with the if they are opposing us, with the hope that God may grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's how he wants us preachers and pastors to relate to others, even in the midst of opposition, even in the midst when we are treated in a wrong way. And that only happens by the grace of God and the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now he concludes by saying in verse 26, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And so again, the devil is much at work, even among the workmen of God, even among preachers and pastors, seeking to lead us astray and to convince us to do things that are not right in the sight of Almighty God. And we have to guard against that. There's nothing, I think, brings the devil more pleasure than to bring down a preacher and or to bust up his family and his married life. He really gets excited about doing those things. He loves nothing better than for us to fall. And you know the stories of some who have. And so in closing, I would simply say to you today, pray for your workmen. That he will be the right kind of workman. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, as convicting as it is. And we thank you that you have given it to us for that purpose, to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to train us, in righteousness, that we might be adequate.